everyone. Welcome back to the Great Connect podcast. I'm Carrie Allen, your host and founder of The Human Array. And today I am so excited to be sitting with Robin Thomas. She calls herself a spiritual GPS, a happiness coach, so many good things, and very excited to be in this space with you, Robin, and have this conversation because you have been such an integral part of my journey and helping and supporting me in this process of growth and reclamation and happiness. And so, yay, welcome. So excited to have you here.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you. Thank you for that really warm introduction. So
it's really a pleasure. It's one of my favorite things is to be able to have these conversations and be able to share all my favorite people with all the people. So that's our goal today. Yay. Awesome. Okay. So I was laughing before we recorded that I'm excited to ask you questions that I'm not sure I've even asked you before. And so, you know, I have had the pleasure of being in your tutelage and your coaching and mentorship. And yet the question that keeps coming up for me is, Robin, how did you get to being a happiness coach? Like, what burst of light or what moment, like, what is it that said, this is what I'm doing and this is where I'm headed, even if I don't know how, where, when, or why?
That's a really good question. I call myself a happiness coach because it's a lot easier than saying, let's dive into the stuff that really holds you back from being amazingly you, coach.
But the reality is,
exactly, because when I say that, people are like, oh, no, thanks. But when I'm like, I'm a happiness coach, they're like, oh, I want more happiness. I'm like, fantastic. Do we gotta do some digging in order to get to that place? Transformation over time. I mean, I spent a lot of my life thinking that there was something fundamentally broken within me. I mean, I've always been this sort of spastically joyful person. I really truly thought there was something wrong with me because of it. Like, I just was like, why don't you fit? Like, why can't you be normal?
There's too much joy coming out of this machine.
There's too much, too colorful, too big, too much. So it took me a really long time. It took me till I was in my 40s, like I don't know, 41, 42, before I even realized that there wasn't something fundamentally broken within me. And when I finally figured that out, that I was like, okay, maybe I'm not broken. Maybe it's okay to be me as is. When I could claim that, when I could own it, then I was like, people need this. They need to know that they're amazing as is. And I know I was in a position to teach it because I had lived it for so many years.
So what were some of the examples of things that made you feel like I shouldn't be this happy? Like, what was coming up for you?
I mean, I was born at a time, my dad was killed when my mom was 6 months pregnant with me. So like, I was born into this grieving family and my mom was lost. Yeah. And so I came in steeped in grief and I came in sort of knowing I was supposed to save her, right? I was the reason she stayed alive.
Yeah.
So I had this internalized sense. And then I grew up in a family that was very closed off, traditionally Boston Irish Catholic. We don't talk about feelings. We don't talk about it. There's nothing.
Put that over here.
Exactly. We're just going to box that right off and not talk about the elephant in the room.
Right.
And again, I didn't know you weren't supposed to say the quiet part out loud. I could always sort of sense what people felt and I would speak it and people would be like, what is do something with this kid.
She's saying the things that we put in the boxes. Like, she's not supposed to get into the boxes. Somebody keep right. The boxes.
Exactly. So it was like a whole long thing. And, you know, as a little kid, I was always sort of like curious and thoughtful and into stuff and colorful. And, you know, it didn't mesh. And then as we got older, we get into like my teen years and my friends are all discovering boys, and I was like, I wanted to be with my friends, right? I mean, it turned out later, obviously, I came out as lesbian at like 19 or 20. I was like, oh, now I understand. It makes so much more sense. But even so, even that piece, right? So then, and then as I was in my 20s and people sort of seemed like they had their stuff figured out, and I didn't, and people were, you wanted to get married and, you know, have babies and do the tradition. And I was like, no, and I couldn't figure out my work. And I just never, I always felt like I had my face pressed up against the glass looking in, right? Mm-hmm. I just never felt like I fit in. I know now I wasn't meant to.
Yeah.
But at the time I was like, well, I'm the flawed one because these people all get it.
Yeah.
And I just don't.
Yeah. I didn't get the manual. I didn't get the right instruction guide as to do this, then that.
Yeah.
Or if I did, do you feel like there was part of you that, like, even if you did get that, because you sensed it, right? You were like, and no, not for me.
I think I really tried really hard to fit in. Like, I really tried hard to fit in.
Yeah.
And I went to my first coaching program when I was 35. And I remember we had to do this thing where we stood on stage and we had to show our true selves.
Yeah.
And I was terrified, like terrified. I was like, I have no idea what that is. I don't even, and I was really like, and we're standing all, we had to get up on stage and my coach wouldn't let us leave the stage until we had shown our true selves, and people were doing amazing, beautiful, vulnerable things. And I was like, yeah, I see you totally. And I was one of the last people to go because I couldn't, I got up on stage and I'm standing trying really hard to like, who am I supposed to be?
Yeah.
Tell me who I'm supposed to be and I'll be that. Right? I'll do it on purpose. And then to my horror, I burst into tears. Like full on sideways tears, weeping. And my coach came over to me and this was like the stuff of nightmares. Cause now I was like, I literally had nightmares about this exact event. So my coach came over to me and she looks me dead in the eyes and she says, give me all this fear and all this doubt and all this angst. And I said, wait, just hand it to you? Like, what do you mean? And she said, yeah, just give it to me. Just hand it all to me. And she said, okay. And she took it and she does her Kobe magic with it. She said, okay, now I want you to just open your arms and let them see you like this. And I was like, okay. So I it took all the courage I had. But I did, like, I was hysterical sobbing, and I just opened my arms, and it was every person that was like, they gave me a standing ovation. It was just like every single person saw me, and it was the first time in my entire life that I had felt really seen.
Yeah.
And it was, that was like a, that was probably the turning, that was like, that was a magical moment.
Yeah. It sounds magical.
Yeah.
I mean, I can feel that. I think so many of us can connect to that sensation of, I don't even really know who I am.
Right. Yes. Right?
That we have been given a manual.
Yes.
And follow the rules or.
Exactly.
Whatever those consequences end up being. And I mean, that hits really deep.
Yes, it really, really, really did. And it sparked a 7 or 8 year journey.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a 20-year journey, but
yeah,
it's
a lifetime journey. But
yeah. exactly.
Multiple lifetimes, planets, galaxies.
Exactly.
Multi-dimensional.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. But that was the moment where I really needed to deep dive into who I was.
Yeah. Yeah. What's coming up for me as you say that is like the connection to this concept of not just the happiness coach, but actually the spiritual GPS, right?
Yeah.
Because that feels like a, okay, there's a moment, there's a thing out there. Now, how do we get ourselves there? Like that's a navigational tool. So tell me a little bit more about how this moved you in the direction of becoming that GPS for other people.
I think if at the I often my philosophy, my guiding principle is know thyself. Yeah. I think about at the temple of Apollo and Delphi, the words on top of know thyself, like consciousness is know thyself. God wants to know itself, which is why we're alive. Yeah. And so having that moment of having no idea who I was, okay, what is it? What does that mean? Who am I? At the core of who I am, not because someone told me who I was supposed to be, not because I learned from something that this is how a person acts or this is what a woman does. None of that. I had to learn how to strip away all of that.
Yeah.
And really at the core of who I am, what does that mean? And again, that was my journey. That it's still my journey. It's still the thing. And in the process, I did a ton of shadow work. I did a ton of like, this is not pretty in any way. Right. I had to make peace with all the parts of me, including the parts of me that I hated and thought was awful. And, right. And because I had to do that again and again, and my knees would hit the floor because I never did things the easy way. Why do things the easy way, Robin, when the hard way is just as good?
Maybe better for some odd twisted reason. I think it's better.
It must be, because here we are. And I had teachers and coaches and healers, and I had people guiding me along the way. And I because this the moment happened in my coaching program, and I knew then this is what I was supposed to do. Mm. Right. I hadn't quite figured out that yet, but I knew this was it. Yeah. And so, I know when I have this sense of self, when I have this internal space that nothing can touch it, now it's my North Star. Now it's my compass. I have a place to come back to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I want that for every person alive.
Yeah.
Like, I really want everybody to know that.
Yeah. I love that. Cause what you're actually saying is, you're your own GPS. And while you help others, you're not their GPS. You're helping them find their own.
Yes.
So that they can navigate to and from and in and out and up and down as they go. Because we all drift.
Absolutely.
Go check out this pond over here. This feels like a good idea. And then it's like, well, nope. Now how do I get back onto the path?
Exactly. Because once you know the way, the nature of attention draws you back again and again. But if you don't know the way, it feels like it's Narnia or like the Avalon. Like you can't find it because you can't pull the mists down.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you haven't found that initial like seed or that initial like thread. I'm just envisioning like a cord or a thread that like at times may seem a little etherical and translucent, perhaps.
Yeah, yes. Absence, maybe.
Yeah. Like disappears perhaps at moments mm-hmm. where I go to check out the pond. I'm like, wait, I'm pretty sure it was taking me this way. And now it's not.
Exactly. That was a will of the wisp. And now here we are.
Right. But we have to, it's building that trust of knowing that it is there.
Right.
And how do we recultivate it and refind it every time that it feels like it might have disappeared because it hasn't really.
Exactly. But it's so quiet. You know, the external world is much louder. It's really easy to get pulled out. It really is easy to get pulled away from. And then how creating the path back, that's the work. That's the carry water, chop wood thing, right? Yeah. Always coming back to center.
Yes. Right. And I love how much, I've had the benefit of experiencing it, but you've sought learning and wisdom from many different places to be able to weave together a variety of different resources that help you do that. I would love for you to share some that were most impactful for you and that just come time and again to be like, okay, I can't find the cord. What tool do I have at my disposal? What are your like go-to tools?
Nowadays, my tried and true baked in practices, Ho'oponopono. It is, that is like, that's the that was the life raft that saved me when in my, when I was in my dark night, which was happened in like 42, 41, 42, on purpose. But I was lost, 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 lost. More lost than I had been at 35, actually, because I blew up my life. I got my heart shattered. I was lost. I got rid of, lost my family. Like I did, I blew things up. And I was lost. And I remembered learning or hearing about Ho'oponopono. And Ho'oponopono is a Hawaiian practice of forgiveness. And it's ancient. So it's got some baked in energy magic to it already. And ho'o make pono, all is right in the world, pono twice. So I'm making all is right in the world between in me and between us. And that is my, like, I do Ho'oponopono multiple times a day. But I started doing it as mirror work because there are four phrases. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. And thank you. Easy. But I would look at myself in the mirror, meet my eyes, and I would say, I'm sorry. And I had no idea what I was apologizing for or to whom, really. But I'm sorry. And I would, again, I would start crying. So there was, I was hitting something. And please forgive me. And then I love you. And I could not say it to myself in the mirror at all. Yeah. It was real. I could not, I could say, eh, you know, you'll do, you don't suck. But I could not get to, I love you. So that was my commitment. I was like, okay, how do I get to that? And over time, I felt the light. I felt it start to change. I felt it start to shift. Again, that was one of those turning points in me. That was the moment when I came out of the dark night. So I that Ho'oponopono is my practice. Right next to that is a process I learned from my teacher, Bob Lancer, called the method, which is a 7-8 step process, and it's basically feel your feelings, feel with love for yourself. All, you know, your experience, your gifts and talents, really truly learn how to love yourself and be in relationship with yourself, and then let go and trust that God has everything under control. God's universe, source, whatever, but like that surrender piece. So make peace with what is, Ho'oponopono, surrender to it, the method. Those are my like 10, those are my core pillars.
I love that. And I really love how you shared, like, it's your practice today, even after all this work and all this time. And yet it also was the bridge to getting to this space and this moment, right? I love those practices that there's so many beautiful ones that are great for specific moments. And yet I love the ones that are that thread that continue to support us no matter what. That feels like the core that you're looking for is like finding the practice that really allows you to be with yourself.
And comfortable with it.
Despite in the beginning, it's uncomfortable.
It was really uncomfortable in the beginning. Yes.
Right? But oh, I love the validation. I get my thumbs up. I can't
Exactly.
make that thumbs up happen for the life of me, but it just validates. Thank
Dark
you.
night. Yep. Exactly. Yep.
No, it's I think that's one of the most beautiful things about your work and your practice because it is very practical in that way of here's a tool and it's how you can find yourself and you can jump into this at any moment in time when you feel that. And you mentioned a little bit of like the shadow work and using those practices. I would love to hear a little bit more of having done this work for so long, right? It's like sometimes you don't realize you're starting to veer towards the pond. It's off our trail here, right? And then as you do more and more work, you notice that sooner. But I would love to hear a little bit from you about the noticing, the how quickly, like what did that evolution look like for you that you would even know to use a Ho'oponopono? Because it sounds great, but when you're in the shit, you're like, things are exploding, right? And it's like, what are those triggers that you use to like, oh, okay, I know what to do now.
I mean, nowadays that's a totally different thing than it was at the you know, again, about 10 years ago, it was a totally different animal. You know, back then, I didn't recognize it until catastrophe would happen. Something would, you know, whatever. I got myself fired from my job, or there was some big thing happened, or, you know, again, I blew up my world and got my heart shattered. Whatever it was, big things had to happen in order for me to be like, oh, maybe we're off the path. Maybe we're like, okay. And then over time, as I started to turn down the volume on my real grueling inner critic, that like nothing I do, it didn't matter what I did, it was never either I should have done it sooner than I did it, or I didn't do it enough, or there was some version of nothing you do is ever, it's one more time you failed. So that voice was the loudest voice in my head for a really long time. And even still, even now I'm at the place where it's mostly silent, and I know when it comes roaring back in, I'm off. I've lost my way. I'm in the pond, and it's kind of a swamp. Right?
With
It's like,
alligators and
exactly. And mosquitoes and gnats. And right? So that voice, and when I recognize it, when I hear that critic, I'm like, oh, thank you. Oh, I really, really appreciate now that critic. I used to get mad at it. I used to be like, what? Just,
Go away.
right? Like, really, truly. But it's just a reminder of that I've lost my way. And so now I just really see it as a reminder. But I had to get distance from that voice. I had to really truly get distance. And at first I did all my anger work towards my critic. And then eventually, we talk about shadow work, I learned how to make friends with it. I learned how to say, what do you need to teach me? Why are you here? Right? And that's every time I have something hit me that's like, okay, what is it here to teach me, rather than why is this happening to me? And the sooner I can get to that question, the easier I can get through whatever it is. Because life's gonna happen. Life gives you lemons. We are here, the School of Hard Knocks. That is the
All
truth.
true. All true.
And especially right now, especially in this time,
Yes.
yes.
Yes. We are going to dive into that in a second. I heard something recently that is the image that's just coming up for me as you're sharing that, which is humans need volcanoes to erupt for them to change. And the reason that's coming up as you're saying this is because for anybody who might be listening to this that feels those volcanoes and are like, what is happening? Like, ask what needs to change.
Yes.
Rather than to your point, like you've done a lot of work to be able to get to this place, to be able to recognize that and move that. And if the simplest thing you can do is just be like, okay, there are volcanoes everywhere. Can I just tune into like something needs to change? And that can be the very
Exactly.
first step.
Absolutely. And that step is, I talk about it all the time. I talk about this 1 degree shift, right? Like a 1 degree shift lets in enough light that over time you end up in, you know, Costa Rica or Tahiti, one of the happiest places on earth, right? But you need that 1 degree shift. And sometimes the simplest question is, okay, what needs to change? Or like, you've got my attention. What do I need to know?
Like, okay, things are loud. Like, what would I rather it be like? Like, even the
Yes.
imagination of like, wait, how is this happening? I need it to be different than this. Like that, I love that 1 degree because it is so true. It isn't, I think it can be romanticized, this like big transition and shift that happens. And at the same time, it's really just micro moments every single
Absolutely.
day where
Yes.
you have the opportunity and you just ask, wait, is this it? No, this is not it. Okay, what can I do just a little bit different to start to get to that? And by the way, if you figure out how to get to Tahiti and all those places by those degree shifts, like please share because I want to be in Tahiti as well.
Who doesn't?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know, so maybe I shouldn't assume that that's where I want to be,
Right.
which
Yeah,
is a
but
little.
I want the chance to prove that that's not going to enhance my happiness.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I'd like to check it out because I need the evidence.
I need the contrast.
Yeah. Right? Which is a perfect segue into like we're in a world of contrast right now. Well, we're in general in a world of contrast, but there's a lot of contrast in the world right now. And I'd love to hear kind of what you're seeing, what you're perceiving, what's coming up that's can help people start to recognize a little bit of, what's for them in this contrast that we're experiencing.
Yeah, so I mean, right now we live in a world that is wildly out of balance, wildly out of balance, and we, as a whole species, really have. We're all lost in the swamp, and we've forgotten basic things like we are all part of some grand divine. We are all a spark of the divine, and so what when we think of we're all divine, that's a again, that's a coming home to ourselves. God wants to know itself. And we've forgotten how to feel our way through things, right? Because if we listen to our heart will always guide us, always. Our heart is never wrong, but our heads lie to us 100% of the time. 100% of the time, even when it's right, even when it's got the truth, it's
Yes.
telling you from a fear place, not a open place. And so our heads lie to us all the time, and most of us live in our heads, and we're heads on sticks. We're completely disconnected from our hearts, right? So
What is it
that
that the longest 12 inches or the longest 18 inches or tr of
is from your
travel?
head to your heart, right? Exactly. Exactly, right? So if we live in our hearts, now our hearts are going to see that there's some really fundamentally broken things in the world. And our hearts have empathy and compassion and joy. I mean, all of the things live in the heart. It's the master. It has more neurons and things than our brain does. So the heart is the map. And we have to listen to it. So that means clearing out some stuff that we can actually listen to, because the heart's voice is very quiet. Again, it speaks in a whisper. And courage, heart. So that's the first thing. And then there's a lot of stuff that's built on shadow, that's built on out of balance, that's built on systems that don't work for anybody. There's a lot of misgendered, there's all kinds of stuff that doesn't, and like, how do we come back to our humanity? How do we find the balance? It's not one thing or the other. It's not masculine or feminine. It's a both. You know, most major religions have exiled the feminine energy of their God 6,000 years ago. This is not new, right? And everybody needs both. We can't just have masculine energy. We can't just have feminine energy. We need both, and we all hold both in different, it's a yin yang on purpose. That's the balance. So everything that's out of balance has to crumble, has to fall away. That's gonna get really messy, because again, you said humans need volcanoes. So the entire population right now has to go through their individual or collective dark night of their soul. We need some pretty freaking loud volcanoes to get the whole
Right?
planet, right?
I mean, obviously, we
Right.
needed something really loud.
And you know, they've been trying for, you know, every time some big thing happens, it's meant to shift. It's meant to change. It's meant to, but what's, you know, we had a lot of shadow that needed to come up and out. And we just have to hold the space for it to come up and out. And that's really painful, because we're rebirthing ourselves while also letting the part of, like, it's when you become a mom, when you give birth, it's exciting. And also you have to grieve the life that you are letting go of. There's a destruction that happens in order for birth to happen. Right?
I had a conversation the other day where we were talking about, especially in America and Western culture, we don't do the grieving process at all, really.
Right.
I would say not well, but I don't think that that's even really quite accurate enough. And so we're all carrying around these bags of boulders of all our past versions of self.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, well, what's going to get me to let go of that one? Like, what are the things that I need to do to like release this big giant thing that I'm carrying around with me because I'm too afraid to let go? It's
You're
holding
too
me.
afraid to feel it,
Yeah,
right? The
right? Because
pain,
the
you think the
access to
pain's
that
gonna
letting
take you
go.
out, right?
Yeah, is the feeling, is the sadness, is the grief that, I love how you started this conversation from like happiness coach and your own like joy, and then also like, right, but I couldn't even really access that that was okay because you have to feel the other things. And we're kind of tuned into like, yeah, happy, be happy. Today, happy. Those things, no. Today, happy. Get back to happy. Get back to happy. And it's like, today I'm not happy. And that's fine.
Right. Well, you don't have joy without sadness. You don't have peace without fear. You don't have happiness without anger. They are the same emotion. It is the flip side of the coin. So if you turn the volume down on those bad feelings, you have turned the volume down on all of your feelings.
Yeah, across the board. And then that's numb.
Right. And then you're addicted to your phone, or you're addicted to a video game, or you're addicted to some substance, or you're addicted to people, or whatever it is you're addicted to outward,
Yes. Because you
because you
don't.
cannot be at home within you.
Yeah. It's been interesting to me that the summer here in New England has been this like roller coaster, and it's kind of coming up for me in this, right? Which is like, we love the heat and we like the cool and we like the heat and we like the cool. And that to me is actually how we're meant to live life, right? And because it's feeling all the emotions and just allowing them to come in and out rather than trying to live in a heat wave.
And the more you can let them be energy in motion, emotion, the more you get to this place of even keeled. So then it doesn't so much matter. The highs happen, the lows happen, but you don't get taken off of your core. Right? And I'm a passionate, wildly enthusiastic person. There is like, I am big. And also, I feel better when I am not having big explosions. Either way.
Like, I have started tuning into finding that calm as the GPS, actually, right? So
Yes.
like, I feel like for a really long time, it was like this high that I was chasing in some way, where it was
Yes.
like, oh, this chart, and that must mean I'm on the right track, and this is great, and this is where we're moving towards. And that wasn't wrong necessarily, but as I've worked to allow all the fluctuations to just move and just be big, medium, small, whatever, what I now realize that I am tuned to is, okay, let it move through. And then, okay, once I get back to feeling that real calm inside of me, that's when I can actually make the decision or move forward or whatever the thing is, right? Like now it's moved through me. And actually, it's funny because that actually came from the positive, the like joy, excitement, enthusiasm. I needed to actually calm that rather than the other way, right? Like, just so it's just such a, I think that that's part of what feels really powerful about your work and what you help people do. Because, yes, it's happiness, but let's recognize that happiness is here, is not this like high that I'm chasing
Right, because
constantly.
inevitably, if you get that high, you have to cry. That's the law of opposites that the universe works in, right? However high the wave is, it has to crash. So
Yes.
then you find yourself, you're right, chasing that high in the depths, which makes the depths feel darker and longer and harder to come up out of, because you're chasing the high, and then you get there and you're so terrified of the darkness again, you're creating more of it.
Yes. Ah, so simple.
Easy.
Like, let's just do that. That sounds great.
Right. Just be energy in
Fantastic.
motion all the time. Exactly. So
Right,
problem solved. We can all go home.
right. Yes, exactly. Like, okay, we're done here. Moving on. And like, I want to connect that back to, obviously what we're experiencing in the world, because what I feel as we talk about that is, we don't hold space for that navigation, for the allowance of whatever emotion is coming up, right? Because we have been tuned, for lack of a better word or a nicer word, to right, be that happy. And especially as a female in the world, that's like, you have to be happy so that everybody else, like, you need to make everybody else happy. Just the space to be like, in this moment, I don't feel happy, and I can just feel that, and that can be true. And so while the inner work is important, I would love you to speak to kind of how you hold space for yourself in this exploding volcanic world that we're in, that is not quite ready to hold space for us in that authentic state.
Yeah, so we are the ones we've been waiting for. We are the ones who have to do that. No one's coming in to save us, and no one's coming in to give us permission. Yes. And also, what I will say is there's now four generations of women who are in some level of hormonal changes, perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause, whatever. For the first time in history, we have more women who are don't give a shit, hormone has been turned all the way off or down or whatever. That gives us permission to not be so compliant, to not be so make peace. That those the estrogen is what makes us befriend, yes, tend and befriend. That's what we do in stress. So now we're at this place where I don't know if you follow this woman on TikTok or Facebook or Instagram, Melanie, the We Don't Care Club. We don't the
Yes,
We Do Not
yes.
Care Club, right? And I'm like, yes, right? So there's a lot of women who are just like, no, I'm totally done with this. And that's on purpose, where humans are one of three species that actually have life, long life after their ability to give birth. And they're the big mammals, right? The whales, humans, and elephants, because the grandmother's the wisdom is required. And so in the pagan tradition, there's the maiden, the mother, and the crone. Those are the triple faces of the goddess. They follow the moon phases, and the maiden is what, maiden, lithe and sexy, and all the things. And the mother is a mother. She tends, she cares, she holds space. But the crone has all of her wisdom consolidated, like she's contained. And we're, again, four generations of women are heading into their crone phase in some level. And that's on purpose. That's by design. That's not accidental that we're all in this phase now, as we're balancing the world, as we're changing, as we're saying that doesn't work for me, as we're holding space for ourselves to become, which also then gives permission for the men to become, because they got lost, like, I don't know, 50 years ago. They got lost behind us. So we need them to also catch up and come into their own, because there's not many men now who know how to hold their own masculine energy.
No,
And
for
we're going to
sure.
show them how.
Right. I don't even remember if I told you this, but we went to see The Lion King in New York and took the kids, and I had a full-blown experience there. That was just this moment of Oh, of course. The masculine ran away and the divine feminine had to go get him and bring the wounded masculine ran away, right? And the divine feminine had to go get him and bring him back so that he could be his divine masculine energy.
Yes.
And
Yes.
it was wildly powerful for me to sit in that experience, first of all, and then also to see the Lion King in, I didn't know it could go to a whole nother level. I was like, well, all right then. Okay, so there's layer, even more layers. All right.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was, but that's the image that I have now of what we're
Yes.
moving through, right? And
Yes.
I think there is a rightfully so, but also can we step into the devotion from a feminine perspective of moving ourselves in that direction rather than, you know, I move into this every once in a while of like, well, can you
Just do it, like,
just do it
enough.
already? Do I have to do
Yeah.
it for you? Right? Like,
Yeah.
okay. And that devotional feminine energy, really, if we can step into that, is yeah, I want you to get there. Okay. Like I'm devoted to that task of moving us all in that direction rather than like,
Well,
oh,
exactly.
God.
And, you know, the best thing that we can do is to claim ourselves. Like the only, like really truly, the only thing we can do is to claim ourselves. There are some of us who are light workers who are going to lead the way, and that's true. But for the most part, our job is to do our own work, right? Which also means clearing out any internalized misogyny, yes, and externalized misandry, and anything that same, for the love of God, can do it. I don't want to have to do this for you. Great. Th then don't stop chasing them and be at home with you. Hold the light bright and say, look, what's possible? Do you want this?
And I think that that's ultimately the divine feminine in her greatest, right? Is this devotion to holding the light, this
Exactly.
devotion to holding the energy of what's possible, which is, you know, what I think when I hear that story and when I think about that is that is what Nala is doing. Like, okay, you like this is it. Like, this is what is needed, and you are in or you're out, but this is what is needed, or here's the consequences. And I think I also go back to like what we were talking about with the internal work, right? In this crazy world is truly you do it inside. You think like the phrase that keeps coming up is, so you say you want to change the world. Okay, what are you doing inside?
Inside.
Like we spend a lot of time, we're still spending a lot of time like, okay, I need to save the oceans. I need to save the climate. I need to save this species, save the all external projection. When actually the key is if we do inside, all the external reflections will shift and change.
Precisely, precisely.
Right.
And if enough people do that, then again, we hit that tipping point. We're pretty close, right? That we are. And a lot of what's going on right now is paper tigers. It's like it's just falling away because so many of us are holding that light. And it's still those like interpersonal relationships. And I'm in a group of women who still don't necessarily, they're like, I can say anything to my girls, but like I don't let my partner hold me that way. And I'm like, okay, great. Maybe that's your work. And I love teaching the men now. I actually have a handful of men who are doing deep, amazing work. And I'm like, oh, yes, brother. Yes. Right? It is so, I have one client who makes me cry on the regular. Like he does so much beautiful work and he gets to this amazing place of like really truly claiming his own divinity. And I every single week I cry and I'm like, thank the gods, I want more of you to do this work.
Yes, me
Right?
too.
Yes.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I feel
Yeah.
you can feel like I feel that shift happening. Like it's coming. It's
It's
happening.
here.
It's
Absolutely.
here. It absolutely is, right? And we just keep focusing in on our own stuff, and those things naturally happen because wait, what's happening over there? Oh, it's just that, like you said, it's
But we're no
holding
longer
that.
focused on what we don't want.
Yeah. It's like, oh, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting, right? Like you said, that 1%, you don't have to be a volcano for somebody else, but actually, if you just are the bright sun, right, they it lets in this little bit of light to say, it's interesting. And that may be all it is the first time.
It's a seed
Just
that
to
gets
notice.
planted, right?
Yeah. I love it. And I love that you just have that you have men coming in, and it's beautiful to hear that, right? That like even if we can feel it and sense it and capture the glimmers that are out there, it's really wonderful to kind of hear that. That it is happening, it is here, and it's gonna be loud because it has to be loud. And that's okay. We
Exactly.
can allow it to be loud for who it needs to be loud for. And for those of us that maybe don't need that volume anymore, we can allow that to be true for others and do our own work and what's true for us.
Yeah, I read something recently. I forget where who said it. I never remember who said it, but it basically said, we were never meant to hold space for the world. We're meant to hold space for our tribe, our immediate circle. So let's say the 100 people in our tribe, the wise women or shamans or the holds they they're yes, they're responsible for the spiritual welfare of their group. Like Rafiki had a tribe. Going back to the Lion King. But he had like a pride. It was like 12, 20 lions. It, right? We're not meant to hold space for the world. And so doing so makes it we there's a fear. Oh my God, I can't hold all this. It's so big, it's so overwhelming. Your heart hurts. And so what how do I get it's not being someone says, I want to be a responsible citizen. I said, well, be a responsible citizen by tending to your needs and your immediate tribe. Stop feeding the fear by giving it all of your attention and energy.
I love that. I love that. And that's really true, right? We weren't even meant like tribes when they got to a certain size, like they
They
separated
split off.
multiple tribes, right? Like that we just can't hold that volume of energy and we weren't meant to. I love that.
Right.
That's a beautiful,
Yeah.
beautiful reminder and a beautiful close to what could be a 3-hour conversation, I'm sure. I was like,
Absolutely.
I was gonna ask another question. I'm like, oh, I
Part two.
part two. I know. I'm like, oh, okay. I am maybe incapable of the 30 to 40 minute episode, but that's okay. We can do part twos, threes, and fours and all the things because
Awesome.
there can't be more of these conversations. So
I
awesome.
agree. I agree.
Thank you so much for joining me today and delving into all these beautiful bits and pieces and sharing your journey.
Thank you. Thank you. This is delightful. It's been such an awesome connection, and I had no doubt it would be, but this exceeded my expectations. So,
I love it. I love it. Amazing. All right. Well, thank you everyone for tuning into this episode of the Great Connect podcast. We will see you next time. And if you are looking to connect with Robin, you will find all of her contact information in the description, where to find her, where to connect with her, and where to learn more about the beautiful work she does so that you can find the happiness within. And until then, we'll see you. Have a great day.